So yeah, there was one final bit, which was the top tips, which yeah, I think it was sort of came from, I think Tom, you asked some top tips previously, didn't you, on something, and I sort of tweeted them. So yeah, so there was three for tonight. So one was around hypos. So I've done kind of five top tips per subject. So the first one's hypos. So tip number one is try to prevent an event actually happening. Prevention is better than, well, you can't say cure, but better than treatment. So that's why I said in the presentation around the on the Essential Libre, we were saying about the between if it was 4 to 6 millimoles, depending on the direction of the arrow, you take those extra carbs to hopefully avoid you from having your hypo occurring. Second tip, use the low alert and adjust it if needed. For example, switching up a higher or low alert during exercise. The third one is to choose a treatment and use it as well. So instead of having a load of different treatments, have one that you like, that you tolerate, and you know how much to have, because it's one thing being in a hypo, and then it's one thing having lots of different options, and you think, oh God, which one am I going to go for? So having one, then you know how much you've got to have. And then I tend to have an alarm as well, a countdown, so I know how long I've got to wait until I recheck. So I tend to do like a 10-minute countdown, really. And then number four, try to have a long-acting carb, if on pens, less so much needed on the pump itself because of the rate of change you can do. And the number five is to try and identify the cause, because that's really the important thing, working out, well, what was the cause for the hypo itself? And then you'll help to reduce the risk itself. So the next one is around illness and sick day rules. So I experienced some illness last week on the pump. So my five key tips is number one, drink plenty. So dehydration can further affect glucose levels. So we know glucose levels rise during illness, but dehydration can further exacerbate the rise as well. So drink plenty. Measure your glucose more, because without checking your glucose, it's like driving blind. You don't know which direction you're going in. Also, check your ketones as well and try and act on them. So a simple way of knowing what exactly levels are safe. So is below 0.6 is safe.
James, can
Zero.
I ask you a quick question about ketones? Sorry to interrupt you. Do you recommend a blood or like the pee test ones for ketones? Is there like an accuracy difference?
Yeah, blood.
Blood? Fair enough.
Blood.
That
Yeah,
was an easy
so
one.
so blood, because the urine gives a delayed kind of result based on what happened a couple of hours ago. So things may have really changed since then. And it's a bit more accurate. So blood, the urine is based on plus and minus and trace signs, whereas the blood is a more accurate, a lot more realistic and timely as well. So with that, below 0.6 is safe. 0.6 to 1.5 is deemed as what we call signs of ketosis. So where you're again developing ketones in the blood, and you're at somewhat risk of going into DKA, and then you want to be applying those sick day rules, even if it's below 0.6. If it's between 1.5 and 3, you're at real high risk of going into DKA, and you want to be adjusting your giving 2 hours of correction doses according to your total daily dose, generally 10% of your total daily dose, as a correction dose every 2 hours until those ketone levels come down. So, for example, if you're 100 units total daily, then you do 10 units, for example. That's quite a big jump there. You might want to, if you're a
Is
bit
there any
worried, you
kind of
might have
number that
overdosed.
like kind of signifies DKA
Yeah,
in a way?
so you're back to, yeah, so the three or more, get yourself into a hospital. So some people would try to manage if it was three, but for me personally, I'd get myself into hospital if it's three or more, because it's one of the three criterias for diabetic ketoacidosis, where we would have to do venous blood samples to consider whether the pH and whether the bicarbonate was within range as well. And then obviously we do other tests on other electrolytes as well, but if when it's above three, you are potentially in DKA, and that's when you need to be into hospital, I would say. Also, for those that are on SGLT2 inhibitors, so a tablet to treat type 2 diabetes, is being used for treating people with type 1 diabetes, though it's not used here because there's not enough evidence in the risk of DKA. But I know it's been used elsewhere. With the SGLT2 inhibitors, there's a thing called euglycemic DKA, where the glucose levels can be fairly normal or even slightly elevated, but the ketone levels can be actually quite raised as well. So it's important that people who are an SGLT2 inhibitor, when they're unwell, checking those ketone levels. Tip number four is use sick day rules. So below on the tweet I've done is some useful sick day rule infographics that I've created along with my team as well. And if tip number five, most important as well, is if you have adjusted or started new treatment and doses during your illness, bring it back to its baseline at recovery, because your resistance to insulin will be less and back to normal. So your risk for hypos, if you've not made those changes back to normal, will be just as high as well. So the last one is around diagnosis top tips. So number one, so this is obviously, we've all been diagnosed, we know this. So this is advice you would want to give if someone, you know, wanted to know about diabetes and worried they may have it themselves, is number one, listen to your body, don't be stubborn, and look for those four T's. So toilet, thirsty, tired and thinner. Then two, look out for the other symptoms that could be, so eyesight changes and thrush. If someone doesn't have those symptoms but worried about type 2 diabetes, then there's a risk score. So the diabetes Know Your Risk tool is a really good one. It's a good one that people can do for free. They just click on it and then they just type in their demographic details and it lets them know their risk, and it gives a guide as what they need to do. So it might be contact your GP because you may be at risk. You're considered potentially at risk of type 2 diabetes, and then the rest will follow. And then if someone is diagnosed with any form of diabetes, my advice is to take time to get used to it. Don't rush. Do everything you need to help yourself. And if you do need help, then, you know, there's always someone there that can help, whether it's healthcare professional related or peer related as well. And this is one key platform that kind of, emphasizes that need and meets the need for many. And that's me all done.